IT.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the July 17th meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. Before we start, I'm just going to share some reminders. The meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. It is being conducted largely in person. I think we only have a couple people appearing. A listen-only video feed. Members of the committee and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself if you are appearing remotely prior to speaking. And to minimize background noise, please mute yourself when you're not speaking. Also, everyone, including those of you in the room, please identify yourself before speaking for purposes of the recording. Ms. Cowan, will you please take roll?
Yes, Judge Mormon.
Present.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, present.
Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Justice Hill.
He will not be joining us today.
Thank you. Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Judge Botke.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Crompton. I don't think he's attending today. Judge Hernandez.
I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Beaker.
Yeah.
Thank you. Judge, we have a call.
Okay, great. So we have a few items on our agenda. The first one is to approve the minutes from our previous meeting on May 30. The minutes were in the materials at pages 3 and 4. If someone's had an opportunity to review the minutes and is comfortable, I'll entertain a motion.
Hernandez will move.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Where is the second? Judge Armendariz, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. So we turn to public comment. Ms. Cowan, did we receive any public comment before today's meeting?
We did not receive any public comment for the meeting.
All right, this concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. So we'll turn first to our informational item. This, of course, concerns the Budget Act of 2025. We're going to have an update today. Zlatko?
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here and always nice to see you all and have these conversations. I'll start with, this is one of my more exciting times of year, both the end of the process, the beginning of a process, the actions of the council, and kind of reflect on where we were and where we're heading. I know there's a lot of activity going to be happening tomorrow, and this committee's been in the middle of that. As far as the budget, I think it was, we had some great calls a couple of weeks ago on the call with the Trockrets, almost 150 people were on it, to hear the message of the budget. And I would say is that with all things considered at this point in time, with the way that the forecast of the revenues were and the expenditures, that it was a really good budget to have continued to have the $40 million for cost increases sustained in the budget, the $42 million restoration and all the other items were great achievements for the chief. The council, Shelley, and all of the work of everybody that came to hearings and supported us. But with that said, I think from the onset of the January budget, there has been this tone and energy of caution. And it's a balance of this caution is that I'm going to tell you right now that June ended with better revenues. June is the single largest revenue month that the state has. It surpasses April because it is a combination of, quarterlies, and it is, again, it's the largest, over $30 billion of revenues come into the state. And we exceeded those forecasts from the governor's May revision. Now, there's some complexity there. It might be a little early payment of the delays that we were expecting from LA from the fires. Maybe they're coming a little bit earlier, but some of the indications are that there are some, real continued strengths in the economy. But then there's a lot of concern and caution, as we've heard, about tariffs and what they're doing to the markets. But the markets maybe have adjusted to some of those swings. But we still don't have what really sort of the analysis of the impact of the federal budget actions and the reconciliation. And so when the governor released sort of their updated final budget materials they make that very clear that they're going to be continuing to evaluate those impacts, and will likely need to come back in the end of this session to possibly make adjustments to the budget. I'm not saying that somehow we'll be expecting some pullback, but because the areas of the budget that are, you know, you're well aware of, you know, in the health and human services area, but then we hear about impacts to education. So it's broad, but nothing specific to the courts. So again, we're happy about where the budget is. It's a good place to be as we build for the next year's budget. But we have to be, again, monitoring and really, you know, keeping abreast. And that's what we do. So my team's job is to make sure that you're aware of those things, the chief and Shelley and the council are, and will adapt as needed and bring together the folks we need to really support the branch.
And tomorrow on the agenda for the meeting is our budget change concept proposals, yeah. And those that will be approved. Why don't you talk a minute about what the next steps are?
Sure.
Maybe who might be listening can understand that a little.
Absolutely.
Bit.
So, we start our budget development process in November of a particular year. And we're talking, over 18 months before a budget is enacted, that this process starts. And it starts with a really inclusive process of reaching out to, a variety of our advisory committees. And every single trial court is contacted through the trial court budget advisory. So I think that there's a real sort of an excellent net cast. And so everybody has an opportunity. And I would suggest that if someone says that they've not had an opportunity, they're not paying attention, because Judge Conklin and his committee do a great job. And those of you that are on TickBack have had the opportunity, the responsibility to talk to our courts to see what their priorities are. And so that's an important part, is really gathering all of those needs. And so this committee is presented with those concepts initially, gives us a time to really debate and discuss them. And then we have to determine what goes forward to the council, but that will be informed when we have our May meeting, which we did and had a really good discussion about sort of the fiscal condition and make some important recommendations to the council. So after tomorrow's actions, assuming that the council approves the items that are before them, we will be submitting these budget change proposals to the Department of Finance for their inclusion and consideration as part of the budget for the governor's budget for 2026, 27. So we are, this is a year from now that we would see the results of all the work that started back in November. And we engage with court leadership in those meetings when we have them with the Department of Finance. So, Daryl has been part of those. Kate will be part of them. They've been important even before we get into the, a governor's budget. So there's some good work to be done educationally from us to the Department of Finance, and in hopes that the governor will see fit to include our proposals in the budget. But we also are aware of the multi-year deficits that are there. And so we don't have any, we work our hardest, but we know that we won't get everything. But it's important at times to message our priorities to the administration, regardless of the outcome in the budget process.
Yeah, thank you very much, Z, for the update. Just a couple of questions that I have, and I want to just circle back to something you said about, we obviously had some record revenues that stated in June, and I know looking back at history, there are certain benchmarks. If revenues come in at a certain level by, let's say, November or by December, it looks like everything's going to hold true in the possibility of some adjustments. Is there kind of a timeline that we should kind of be tracking to affirm that revenues look good and the Budget Act is going to go unchanged? I know it's a big question mark, but it helps us in the trial courts, as an example, be prepared for uncertainty that perhaps might occur. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitively governor's budget in January will tell us where they are officially. But yes, we can track the monthly revenues. And I think at the quarterly presiding judges and court executives advisory committee meetings, I would be giving those kinds of updates, and we can kind of see where things are. But yeah, I mean, it's still a bit early especially with the federal budget actions, what that is. So even if state revenues were in a good place, one of the funding sources is federal funds. So even though our general fund might be in a positive place, the federal actions are going to be a thing we can monitor. And so I'd like to be able to say it's just general fund revenues that we're looking at, because we've had very stable federal funding for quite some time. That's a new wrinkle as to how that's all will work out. So, but we'll be tracking it and we'll let folks know.
Yeah.
I think the SEAC Connect is an opportunity if things are significant that we would report as needed. So we're going to be trying to be as live with it so that folks aren't caught off guard. I know JBBC will be meeting and we'll have opportunities to provide updates there as well.
So you use the word cautiousness or caution.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably something that we should continue to recognize for a few months with a level of unknowns, I guess.
Yes.
Thank you
for the question.
Okay, any other questions or considerations for Z on this subject matter anyway? Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to the next update at our next meeting. So we'll move to our next item, which is an action item. And we have Judge Conklin joining us on the virtual platform. He's up there on the screen. And actually, this is, we don't have to take any action today. This is for informational purposes only. The Funding Methodology Subcommittee Annual Work Plan. This is, of course, a subcommittee of TICFAC. We have Judge Conklin and Rose. Rose, are you there?
I'm here.
Judge Conklin, take it away.
Yes. Thanks, Judge Mormon. Good afternoon, all. Thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity to stay on vacation and present via Zoom. I appreciate that. I'm here today to essentially turn this over to Rose, and she's going to detail the work plan of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee for 25-26. I remind all of you, as I'm sure you know, that the goal of the Funding Methodology Work Plan of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, is to develop allocation methodologies for funding augmentations and reductions throughout for the trial courts throughout the year. Our goal as we develop this process is equity, stability, and predictability. So we want to try our best as we develop these methodologies to have equitable funding for all the trial courts. It's a laudable goal, a goal that we continue to pursue and will continue to pursue. At the same time, we want to recognize stability. So those courts have to know essentially what they can depend on. David and Zlatko addressed that just a few minutes ago when they talked about the governor's budget and how that budget may change, and stability. So it's important for the courts to know, and you will see this in the upcoming year when we talk about work that TICFAC will hand in hand complete with the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, DAC, and some workload numbers as we move forward. But that stability is really important. So while it's good for the courts to get money, they can't get too much money in too quickly, nor can they lose too much money too quickly, because it's just not stable for them to conduct their work plans. And so when we, through FMS, develop these methodologies, we always keep that in mind. I'm co-chaired with this with Chad Finke, and Chad is, as Rebecca is the brains behind the TICFAC, Chad is behind FMS. He's a tremendous help to us in working with all the other CEOs as we develop these projects. So that's a general description of our work plan as we move forward through the year. And what I'm going to do now, and the work plan is included at pages 9 and 23 of your materials in detail. I'm going to turn it over to Rose. She's going to walk you through currently the work plan, what we've accomplished, and what we have to come. She'll highlight for you, for example, an item we're going to present to the council tomorrow, and that is a methodology to account for funding reductions that we know are coming our way, either in the same year or in a following year. So these methodologies are also important considering the goals that I just set forth. And with that, Rose, I'll turn it over to you to detail the work plan.
Great. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon. My name is Rose Lane, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. This informational report is to provide the committee with an overview of the updates to the Funding Methodology Subcommittee Annual Work Plan for fiscal year 25-26. For some background, on an annual basis, the subcommittee, known as FMS, reevaluates the work plan to guide its efforts to develop and refine the workload formula, as well as other methodologies for approval by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, also known as TCBAC. TCBAC met on July 2nd and approved the following updates. Item 1 was moved to fiscal year 25-26. This item is the reevaluation of the court cluster system. Moving this item to fiscal year 25-26 allows additional time for the Data Analytics Advisory Committee to complete necessary work in reviewing the statewide four cluster model and its criteria. Item 2 was removed, which is the consideration of further refinements to the workload formula policy, including methodologies to allocate future budget reductions and/or restoration of funding, which had previously been reduced due to budget shortfalls. This item is complete. A recommendation developed by the FMS will be considered by the Judicial Council at its business meeting tomorrow on July 18th. Next, item 3 was moved to fiscal year 25-26. This is the reevaluation of the trial court minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy to consider if the policy should be repealed at a future time based on the state level emergency reserve and the fund balance cap. This policy has been suspended since fiscal year 2012 to 2013. TCBAC approved adding items 4 through 6 to the work plan. Item 4 is to evaluate the equity-based reallocation policy, including technical refinements and clarification of the application of the existing methodology. Fiscal year 25-26 is the first year the policy was implemented, and the TCBAC directed this item to FMS to address questions that were raised by the trial courts regarding the interpretation of the policy. Item 5 is to evaluate the impact of the resource assessment study data on the workload formula calculation and the timing of the implementation of the new case weights in the model. Item 6 is to evaluate the impact of the Bureau of Labor Statistics factor and its impact on the workload formula calculation. And then for the ongoing annual updates, TCBAC approved adding item 7. In alignment with one of the primary responsibilities of FMS, this item is the review of the workload formula policy to address adjustments as needed to ensure the policy stays current to advance the goal of funding equity, stability, and predictability to support trial court operations. And then lastly, TCBAC approved retaining items 8 and 9 on the work plan. Item 8 is the review of the base funding floor amounts annually, if requested by the applicable trial courts, to determine whether an inflationary adjustment is needed. And then item 9 is the review of the workload formula adjustment request process, which is consistent with council policy. So the approved work plan for fiscal year 25-26 is provided as attachment 1D on page 22 of your materials. And that concludes our informational report. Budget Services staff is on the call and happy to take any questions you may have.
Rose, thank you very much. And Judge Mormon, I turn it back to you and your committee for any questions.
Okay, thank you. So I have a question just to kick it off. Do we know, and I appreciate that we may not, do we know where DAC is in either commencing or being in the middle of their work on the cluster system issue? So it was on the work plan last year, and I think FMS is waiting for the outcome of certain I'll call it information gathering by DAC to do the work to potentially refine the cluster system, right?
This is on the case weights. Cluster,
also working on the cluster system.
As I understand it, the cluster work has been generally completed, and it's now we need to disclose it out by reporting back to FMS about the whether there should be any cluster changes.
Okay. So, and it just hasn't.
Yeah, we just have not.
It hasn't gotten there yet.
To close that loop.
But okay, so good segue though, because we have the RAS study on our line a lot, and I know Zach is going to be not spearheading, certainly along with TCVAC and others, including this committee. You know how we're going to incorporate the new case weights into our workload formula formulas, and you know when and so forth. So, they're just commencing that work. I take it.
We've had conversation with Leah about how to chart out a path that ensures that we have the kind of conversations and understanding that resulted in the pause, making sure that there is that. And the deeper explanation to the courts and getting the good feedback to make sure that it's understood, and also the impact overall on funding. But definitely I think there's a sense from folks, and I know some great conversations at SEAC Connect about the interest on this. And so, yes.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of questions out there. So I know everybody's there. Yeah.
My perception is that the DAC, obviously, as in other committees, is working very diligently on this. The analogy we've used in the past is this is like a long-distance race in a track meet, and they've got the baton right now, and we're waiting for them to complete their work and hand the baton to us. They do have some personnel decisions that need to be made within that committee before they can move forward. I know those are ongoing and are about to be completed that will allow them to continue that work. But, yes, directly, we have to have DAC complete that work before we can move forward, but we're hand in hand on this.
Do we know when that meeting is? Do we know when DAC meeting, is it scheduled? Is it?
Well, I don't have it at my fingertips. They do have a meeting schedule. I think what Judge Conklin's referring to is that there's some within DAC, you know, the chief has made some appointments to the advisory committee. They're not public.
Okay.
And, you know, they will be certainly made public by September, but I think staff is engaged in a lot of work at this moment and in the weeks past, but it hasn't emerged, I don't think, on the DAC public meeting agenda yet, in part due to some of the advisory committee roster changes and so forth.
That's accurate.
And also, sorry, go ahead, Judge.
No, you said that's accurate. That's my perception too.
And as part of this, the scope and breadth of the conversations and how to literally schedule those and get those organized, because it's the desire is to DAC being the leading edge on this, but how do we get fuller inclusion into those conversations and awareness by all the courts? That was, I think, one of our presentations to this committee when TCVAC made the recommendation to defer the use of the case weights. It was time needed to understand, absorb, and implement. And so that isn't something that across all 58, there needs to be that understanding, not just the members of DAC or TCVAC.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think
DAC
and as a member
of ABBC.
Thank you. So what one of the things that I wanted to mention is that the preliminary sense of RAS numbers produced some pretty dramatic results, quite frankly. And I think that we were very, very pleased with the fact that much of the time that we now spend processing cases is now captured. But I also think that there's a need for further analysis and validation that needs to happen. And I can tell you that while we remain hopeful that it could reflect some adjustments in a positive way in terms of resources that we receive, there could be some adjustments internally as well. And for that reason, I think it's super important for us to move the ball in different lanes simultaneously if we can, both in kind of educating folks on where things stand, what our anticipated timing would be, and getting information out on a broader level and making sure everybody understands the game plan. I think that's something that's super important. So if there can be a continued discussion, not perhaps just leaving it to one body to do their section and then passing it on to somebody else, maybe we can do something simultaneously so that education and validation and understanding can kind of happen at the same time.
Sort of, if I might, to add into Judge Conklin's concept of a relay race, but there's parts of the relay race in which you're in the same lane running together to connect. And so definitely, you know, there is the scope and sense of what DAC has done in terms of its outputs, case weight wise and full-time equivalent needs, then that has to be translated into the funding and dollars in need. And what does that mean? Because then there's implications there. So there definitely has to be lots of overlap in that lane as things move along.
And we look forward to that. I think both Zlatko and David are absolutely right. These are tasks that will each committee will complete, but they rely on and work closely with each other to get there. I don't think, and I hope I'm not saying anything inappropriate, we already know from these numbers that the work that we complete is gone up significantly. So we've talked in the past about tasks that judges have been assigned, that the courts have been assigned. The last time these were updated was 2017, if I'm correct. Since that time, the judges in the room and on this meeting can all tell us all the additional jobs we've been given. That's increased the workload significantly for the courts. And we see that in the numbers. So we just have to be, as David said, very, very diligent yet careful as we roll these numbers out. They're going to be significant. They're going to be significant, and we want to vet them thoroughly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I only bring it up because, it's, you know, part of what's coming towards the FMS subcommittee to work on, but it is, it is a topic of conversation, I think, within the branch, and it's important, I think. You know, I'll probably be raising it on some level at every meeting to acknowledge to people who might listen to this meeting or read the minutes some other time that this, you know, has not faded into the background. And I think in addition to what Mr. Yamasaki has commented, the need to have, you know, complete understanding of what the RAS study really showed, in addition to, you know, what are going to be its implications and the timing. I think there's still, you know, there's still quite a bit of lack of understanding, and it's not anybody's fault. It's just, it does represent potentially some very significant changes. And I think people within the branch don't necessarily feel like they understand it. So we've got some work to do on the educational front. And I myself am prepared to help do that if we need to go on a roadshow or something like that. Okay, were there any other questions about, frankly, anything within the subject at hand? Doesn't have to be RAS or the cluster system. We could, or comments?
Can I make just one observation?
You bet. Mr. Yamasaki.
I just wanted to commend Judge Conklin for going on vacation and transporting a suit and tie. Very impressive, Judge.
It's a close camera shot. That's all I have to say. But thank you.
Yeah, right. It only goes down the part way. Anyway, Judge Conklin, thank you for joining us. Ms. Lane Rose, thank you very, very much for the written material is fantastic. It's very self-explanatory. I said, we don't have an action item, but thank you.
And if I could comment too, as I try to do all the time, obviously this is significant from FMS, but we couldn't do this without Zlatko and his team. So this is such great work. Thanks to Zlatko and Rose and Fran and Donna and Oksana and everybody. We appreciate it.
Great chair.
Yep. You're here. Okay.
Go Dodgers. Thanks, everybody.
So before I conclude today's meeting, I just want to say, you know, this is the last meeting for some members of this committee. Some are moving on to other committees, some are moving on to other things entirely. And I just want to say to Mr. Yamasaki and Judge Botke and Justice Fujisaki and Ms. Beaker, I think, is moving on to a different committee entirely, but all of you have contributed significantly. I feel that we're losing the keeper of the history sort of thing. But You're very much, your contributions are very much appreciated for these last several years. And I'm sorry to see you go, but we're looking forward to getting some new members. And I just publicly want to express our gratitude. So with that, our next scheduled meeting, and I emphasize scheduled, is October 22nd. It's tied up, tied to rather, not tied up, but judicial council meetings. Right now we have a scheduled 1 to 2, could change.
Sorry, there'll be an update on that, but I can offer it after you've
made your comments. For October, though, there will be other persons or other meetings that we'll conduct remotely. We're going to have a September meeting. So Angela or one of her staff will be distributing a poll to acquire everybody's availability. Probably before September, I would venture to guess that it would be next month. We'll have to have a quick meeting on some allocations, particularly relating to dependency council. I want that to move along really quickly.
Yeah, that was.
So I don't have a date in mind. It won't be before August 6th because I'll be out of town, but I'm hoping to have it shortly thereafter. We did, it was something this committee had already approved, and we learned of some implications that were not necessarily appreciated when we looked at it. So we're sending it back quickly to tick back to make some adjustments that I think we can accomplish relatively quickly, and then the committee will have to take a look at it again. But we need to turn it around pretty fast. So next month. Other than that, did you have something to add?
And so as the budget was wrapping up, there was some sort of last minute, but final actions in the legislature's budget that we were not sure whether they would make the final agreement. And one was in particular related to Prop 36 funding. And then also there was an amendment to the governor's proposal on pretrial that also adjusted the funding. And so those items will need to come back to this committee and get to the council to be allocated as well. So our goal is, our plan is, our expectation is that you'll be hearing about three items in early August, which will be not only the court-appointed juvenile dependency, but also Prop 36 and pretrial funding. FMS is meeting on the 31st of this month to discuss and deliberate pass on those three items.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing each other virtually. It's always nice to see everybody in person. And unless there's something for the good of the order, I'll call the meeting adjourned. We can conclude the recording.
It's not your last meeting.